This week on Seeking Sydney, we answer a listener's question. How did the 6 o'clock swill begin in Sydney? I'm here in Sydney's Central Station to investigate, but to find out what happened, we have to travel back to the year 1915. Australia had entered World War I, and a camp was set up in Casula in Sydney's west to house and train soldiers before they went to fight overseas. Conditions at the camp were not good, as Mike Davis of the Moorbank Heritage Group explains.
Holsworthy camp just couldn't cope, and so they just kept on feeding them into this area of land right on the side of a river. There was no, the infrastructure hadn't been put in place as far as proper cooking facilities, proper dining facilities. They didn't have enough tents, they didn't have enough coats for the people, they didn't have enough blankets, and a tent that would normally, say, accommodate six had 12 in it. It was really, really bad, to the point that the Australian government, through orchestrated by a state MP in New South Wales, decided to have a Royal Commission. It was called the Rich Royal Commission because there was so much going on. In the first 6 months or so of 1915, around about up to about July, August,
although the Royal Commission had several recommendations, they weren't enough to appease the soldiers. Illness spread through the camp at alarming rates, and living conditions were still poor.
Towards the end of 1915, there were two minor riots. You know, they weren't the end of the world type things, but there's agitation and people, the soldiers had had enough type of thing. Then in the new year of 1916, they brought in extra training. So the soldiers went from having 30 hours a week hard training to 40 hours a week training. Well, they just, shall I pardon the expression, spat the dummy, because that was far, far too much. They weren't getting paid any extra. Privileges were being taken away from them, privileges like free train tickets to go into the city and things like that. So they obviously had a meeting at Casula. There was a camp at Casula and a camp at Holsworthy, and the Casula people marched down, and then it went on from there. They ransacked the hotels. There were about two or three hotels near the railway station. They decided to... It was free alcohol, thank you very much. And the police just weren't prepared for it. There weren't enough police. And then things started to settle down. And the police thought, oh, well, it's over. But it wasn't over. By late that afternoon, middle of the afternoon, it ended up there's about 3,000 soldiers, and again, an approximate count, had got on trains, gone into the city, fairly orderly.
And so around 3,000 soldiers made their way from Liverpool to Sydney. Lila Elmus of New South Wales Professional Historians Association explored what the trip was like.
They were drunken. They were angry because of, you know, they were on strike. They were angry about this particular cause. They'd been marching from Casula to Liverpool. They were on the trains. They were dominating the train carriages. The trains themselves would have been quite overcrowded. So they were sort of high-spirited, I would say. As they were marching through the streets, they were commandeering vehicles, so horse and carts, motor vehicles, which there wouldn't have been that many of them. So the event at Central Station was at 10:45 p.m. But you've got to understand that, there's, you know, for 14 hours, these troops, trainee troops, had been taking over the streets of Sydney, going into the pubs, drinking the bar dry if they couldn't get into the pubs, and, you know, breaking the glass. Also going into establishments where there were German-owned businesses, and also going into the police stations where some of their compatriots were being locked up and demanding that they be let free. So what happened was that there were some sort of incidences all throughout the city where these things were happening. So they weren't in one mob altogether. By 10:45 p.m, some civilians had actually joined the action.
But eventually the riots and protests died down. The day had ended, and the soldiers made their way back to Central Station to head back to camp in Liverpool. But once they reached Central Station, they were confronted by the police force, and a fight started.
One of the soldiers, a member of the Light Horse, had his own personal revolver. Because all these soldiers went into Sydney in those places, they weren't armed, but he had his own personal revolver, so his mother later reported. And he fired a shot. They were using a water hose and things. So things just got out of hand, heated and what have you. He inadvertently fired a shot, whether he fired in the air or fired at somebody, we'll never know, as the saying goes. And of course, the armed pickets fired back, and he got killed by one of the bullets, and there were several others wounded. And that really put a kibosh on the whole thing, because suddenly what had become a protest march, there was a death.
The death had a sobering effect on the soldiers, who headed back to camp afterwards. That wasn't the end, though, as many soldiers faced disciplinary action afterwards.
So there were 279 court-martials. 36 of the participants were actually convicted on various charges, so assaulting police, riotous behaviour, abusive language. Yeah, so, and then, but most of them didn't get punished, but they did actually go to war and fought on the battlefields of the war, and, you know, many of them probably would have died.
The alcohol-fuelled riots also caused a shift in the public perception of pubs.
4 months after this strike turned riot, there was a referendum on 6 o'clock closing. Because the soldiers had been consuming alcohol so freely, and this was one of the pillars of their complaints, was to have, you know, a wet canteen at their training camp. There had been a temperance movement which had been building up momentum and support over the years. And so the referendum was about the closing of pubs at 6 p.m, pubs and hotels. And yes, so what happened was that there was actually support for that. So there was early closing introduced to pubs and hotels throughout New South Wales, and this was stayed in place until 1955.
But the protests and riot did have a positive outcome for those living in the camps around Liverpool, and changes were soon made.
The end result of it all was that good things did come out of it. The army finally woke up, because the Australian Army at that stage was more or less been orchestrated out of Melbourne, was the headquarters, not in Sydney, where all these issues, where the biggest camp was in Australia and all this type of thing. But from that, they went through and made a lot of changes, in so much that they reduced the number of people at Holsworth to about, I think it was about 4,000. They opened up a lot of camps in country areas to disperse the number of trainees. If you were local to Sydney, you'd normally come to Holsworthy. So they sent the locals from about 1916 onwards, they were trained elsewhere. The Australian Light Horse, they were also doing all their training at Holsworthy. They were moved out to Menangle, just past Campbelltown. Again, that sort of lessened the numbers at the crucial place, and it became more controllable.